Hello, 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 everybody. I'm Louise Eddington, the Cosmic Owl of Cosmic Owl Astrology. I am an astrologer, mentor, shamanic practitioner, teacher, guide, whatever you want to call me. I'm multifaceted, multi-talented, and you get all of me. I also write on Substack, and I do free daily energy updates for free subscribers on Substack. Paid subscribers get the blogging of my book. Also, I run a private membership community. Currently, I'm not taking any new members to that, to the nest, into my nest, but that will open soon. And I'm also in a summit this week, one of those talk summits. And it's the Enlightened Entrepreneur. And my talk is How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. So I'll put a link to that as well if you want to sign up for that. And if you see this a little bit late, then because it starts on the 18th, I think the recordings are available for so long anyway. I'm not sure. I've been away and busy and life's been chaos. So I pulled some cards. This is actually the second time recording this because my webcam went fuzzy and would not would not go non-fuzzy again. So I'm recording this on St. Patrick's Day, the 17th. So happy St. Patrick's Day. I got given this when we went to a brunch with our British Card Club this morning. And so I'm wearing my bit of green. I did have my green top on this morning, but too warm now. Anyway, so some cards that I pulled are so prescient to the astrology of the Aries ingress, because no matter where you are, the sun is moving into Aries, whether you're in the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere. And this is the equinox, the equal day and equal night. So it's the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, spring is sprung, and in the southern hemisphere, it is the autumn or fall equinox. And the light is going to fall away in the southern hemisphere, and the light is going to gain, we're going to get longer days in the north. But no matter where you are energetically, it's Aries. And this is Astrology Day, the National Astrology Day. The sun moves into Aries at exactly 11:06 p.m. and 25 seconds Eastern time on the 19th. So that's about 11 p.m. So for many of you in the UK and Australia and so on, it's actually going to be on the 20th, but it's Aries. This is new starts. This is pioneering. This is time to take action. This is fire. This is inspiration. And we have an Aries ingress every year, which, and the chart tends to set the tone for a few months ahead, at least the 6 months up to the next equinox. And this one is very powerful for a few reasons, and I'll explain why when we look at the astrology. But first, the cards that I pulled. Okay, so I pulled two cards from two decks. The first cards that I pulled were from the Witch Oracle, which is the woman in total control of herself. I do want to clarify that when I look at this deck and use it, the message inspires me, but actual witches or those that practice the craft or Wiccan or whatever you want to call it, I do not see being a witch as only women's domain. It's anybody who's in touch with that energy of alchemy and the exhale and getting in touch with the magical realms. Okay, so I think we get too tied up with physical gender identity and these terms. But you know, when I read from this, I speak to anybody who's in touch with these witchy, magical yin, exhale, night, alchemical, creative kind of energies. All right. So just wanted to clarify that. because it's happening within each of us. We each have all of this energetically within us. And I'm not talking at all about biological gender, even though I do, I'm an inclusive feminist, I suppose, or humanist. I prefer humanist. So I did joke about calling this deck actually human in total control of themselves, but then that last word didn't have the H. So anyway, you get the idea. So the first card I pulled, and subscribe to my channel while you're here, please. Give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. I'm not going to push this right up to the camera because that's what makes the camera go fuzzy. So you'll just have to see the predator. Look at this with his bishop's hat on. He looks really mean. It really kind of shocked me when it came out. But this really makes sense for what's going on collectively. Okay, so this card, the predator, from this deck is a voice of the patriarchy inside our heads. I'm not going to really kind of read every word, but the predator is an unholy inquisitor. It might have shown up outside of you in, you know, home, church, school, culture as a whole, but now we've still got this inner patriarchy embedded in us because we're steeped in it. And I unpack more every day, to be quite honest. You know, I think all of us do. If everybody says, oh, I've unpacked my whole inner patriarchy, I kind of wonder, you know, if they're a bit kidding themselves or unable to see another part yet. But anyway, so a witch, the human, knows it's purposeful to speak truth to power, to stand up and march for justice, fairness, and decency, but also determined to march on behalf of the girl or child inside of you living with that monster. This is a call to be willing to take to the inner streets to clean up the injustice of bullying thoughts, blaming self-talk, and name-calling. She speaks up for fairness when the internal predatory voice demands that we please everyone else before ourselves. We embody fierce decency when our dreams or hungers or passions are shamed and belittled from within. It's time to take a stand against the unholy inquisition of the psyche and develop the tools to defeat the toxic patriarchy living there. You deserve nothing less. And that card just hit me in the gut and the feels. So I'll probably title this video Unholy Inquisition, because that's kind of where we're at, dealing with these inner voices. And the astrology speaks to that too. The other card I pulled is number six, the creatrix of cunning. She's lovely. Just look at her. She's extremely female and feminine and fecund and lovely with her lovely outfit on. But she's got that fox on her, and she's also got a sword. She reminds me of Pallas Athena, that wise warrior who's strategic, which is cunning. Okay. Anyway, so the book says about this card, it's quite a short description for the creatrix of cunning. Her name is Cunning. Foxes, like women, have deep cunning. The word cunning arrives from an older Middle English word, ken, which is kind of funny because in parts of UK where I'm from, they say, do you ken? Anyway, so which is a range of knowledge or sight. Within a toxic patriarchy, cunning women are thought of as conniving or manipulative, or anybody who's got that cunning ken within them. But a witch understands that a woman who uses her cunning employs the deep internal sight and wide range vision that leads her to building an authentic life true to her own imaginings. When we excavate our deep knowing and trust its messages. Our soul sight grows sharp and our instincts return to the untamed power we are born with. Sharpen your cunning to cut away what no longer serves. Your life deserves the fierce protection that feminine discernment can bring. Oh, these words are so tricky. So then I just pulled a couple of tarot cards from the Tridevia deck. A reminder that there is a 10% off code with my link if you want to check out this deck and buy it. Some of you have ordered it. Hope you're enjoying it. So this is the Queen of Cups was the first card I pulled. And this one was reversed. So this says, don't let emotions cloud your mind and try not to overlook the negative behaviors of others. If you feel like you give too much, which is kind of like that sacrifice kind of energy, and get nothing in return, it's time to reconsider your priorities and put yourself first, as I'm always battering on about. So the affirmation for this is, I put focus on what my mind tells me in order not to be overwhelmed by the emotions. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotions, but we have to balance that emotional, intuitive, ken, cunning, knowing energy with doing. This is the masculine and feminine within. Okay, so we have to balance that. So, and I'll talk to that with the astrology too. And then the last card that I'm going to read to you was the last card I pulled. Aries is a fire sign. It's the first day of the astrological new year, National Astrology Day or International Astrology Day, the turning of the seasons. Light returns in the north, starts to disappear in the southern hemisphere. It's Aries, it's new beginnings. Anyway, and we got the Ace of Wands, which is fire. So, there is a new possibility. New opportunities are around the corner. You're ready to open yourself up and broaden your horizons, feeling a spark that moves you towards something new and exciting. You are feeling inspired and enthusiastic about what's ahead of you. There is a growing potential in the spiritual, energetic realm. Pay attention to what you're feeling drawn towards and give in. I am open to receiving abundance from unknown sources. And that makes sense that we would get that card, because honestly, this ingress is full of resets, possibilities. There's perhaps going to be some new beginnings that are totally unexpected. I think I'm not a fan of the actual practice or organization, whatever you call it, of access consciousness. It's a little bit culty, but they did open me up to some great questions, like, what is possible that I'm not seeing here? What else is possible? What are the possibilities? Just keep asking those questions on this ingress, because this is full of possibilities. All right. So let's look at the astrology and talk more about that. But in the meantime, please subscribe to my channel. Check the little bell to get notified when I upload new videos. Give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. I usually respond, or at least give you a little heart or something. It all helps my videos get seen. But anyway, let's look at the astrology, and then I'm going to hide the chart and just talk to you. So this is the ingress chart, the moment the sun moves into Aries. It's at 11:06 and 25 seconds p.m. Eastern time in the US. So for the UK and Australia, it will be on the 20th. For the US, it's late on the 19th, and Hawaii, it's the 19th. Summer, you know, where whichever side of the international dateline you are on, you will probably know where you are. timeanddate.com or World Time Buddy are great apps to convert to your own time zone. Astro.com or astro-seek.com are great apps to create free charts. There are others, but you could create a chart for where you are for the Aries ingress if you want to see houses, because I am not going to look at houses in this one. I'm only going to look at the planets, okay, and with the placements and how they speak to each other. So the sun moves to zero Aries, and every Aries ingress is different. Every world point, every turning of the seasons, every equinox. This one is really powerful. And why? Firstly, because then the nodes are in Aries and Libra. The north node is in Aries, the south node in Libra. By next Aries ingress, their nodes will be back in Pisces and Virgo. On the last Aries ingress, the nodes are in Taurus and Scorpio. So this Aries ingress has the north node in Aries. And I've been talking about taking a stand for yourself against that inner predator, that inquisitor, whatever it was called, that stops you, that voice of the culture, the family, the inner voice, that patriarchy, the weight of expectations. There's other things saying we're letting go of those as well. This Aries ingress is the only one we'll have in this current 19-year nodal cycle with the North Node in Aries. And what that means as well is that we are close to eclipses. So this is March the 19th late, or March the 20th early, or wherever you are in the world. And it's just before the eclipses. The lunar eclipse is on the 25th, so it's less than a week before the first eclipse. And then on April the 8th, we have a big Aries eclipse at 19 Aries. So there's that. Also, on this date, Mercury has just passed that north node and has entered the zone of its pre-retrograde shadow. Now, I'm not a big fan of using those words, the pre-retrograde shadow, to go, oh, Mercury's already retrograde, and things like that. What it means is Mercury is traveling over the degrees that Mercury will retrograde back over. So this is ground that the trickster, the cunning fox, okay, is going to cover three times as Mercury stations retrograde on April the 1st. Okay, so that's another thing that makes this ingress different. We've got all of that happening. The eclipses coming, the big Aries eclipse coming, a Mercury retrograde in Aries coming, all of that's happening. And Chiron is still in Aries for this Aries ingress. That's been happening for a while, but all of these are very tight together. So we've got a lot of Aries. We've got the Sun, the North Node, Mercury, Chiron, and Eris, the pot stirrer, in there. Then we've also got a crazy amount of Pisces still. Venus, Saturn, Nessus, the buck stops here, are in Pisces, but we also have Hygieia and Neptune conjunct at 27 degrees right after the Aries ingress. I'm recording this on 17th, St. Patrick's Day, with the Sun conjunct Neptune, but this is square to the galactic center. So there is big download energy, big information. Philip Sedgwick, who has written quite a lot about the galactic center and the supergalactic center and the great attractor and such things on his website, calls the galactic center like your defragging of the hard drive. It defrags our hard drive, brings in new truths, new information, from Sagittarius A, the black hole at the center of our galaxy, which is why it's the galactic center, brings in this new information, new higher knowledge, which is very Sagittarian as well, new philosophy. And this is square to that. And today the sun is conjunct. And that's all at 27 degrees. And Hygieia is about holistic health, mind, body, spirit, all in balance, masculine, feminine, so on and so forth. It's quite astounding. And this is all at 27 degrees, which is to the number of the divine feminine, so to speak. And seven is a very spiritual number, but it's also a nine. 2 plus 7 is kind of endings. Nine is completion. And this is Pisces. Pisces is the cosmic soup. It's the amniotic fluid. So we have all this ending and chaos just before birth or just before death as well, just before endings and beginnings, kind of defragging chaos, pulling apart, but also then being reborn, a little bit like a shamanic dismemberment and rememberment journey, where all the waves and particles and molecules all get reorganized and pulled apart and then rebuilt or shiny and new. We have a lot going on, the endings and the beginnings. We have Venus, which is our values, our relationships, our love nature, but also our creative energy. And Venus is in Pisces, where she loves to be. She's said to be exalted in. Venus is said to kind of be at her highest, kind of princess-like energy, if you like, sitting there in Pisces. But she is conjunct Saturn, the patriarchy, or the man-made rules, which are the patriarchy right now. Saturn is kind of the wise elder, but it's also kind of that heavy-handed parent sometimes. It can be the light wise hand or the heavy hand, the weight. And Venus is coming up to Saturn and saying, I've had enough of this. Okay, because then she goes to Nessus, who says, the buck stops here. Had enough of this. Representations of this, and I don't want any opinions about the actual politics, are a black vice president, Kamala Harris, going to an abortion clinic for the first time ever. You know, politicians tend to stay away from those kind of more contentious issues. And she spoke strongly about this has got to stop. You know, we need these places, you know, for reproductive health of all kinds, not just abortion health. Anyway, and then we've got Hygieia, which is that holistic kind of, you know, mind, body, spirit, preventative health as well. Also, she has a seer quality, and Hygieia is conjunct Neptune, square to that galactic center, asking us to tune into that cunning, that knowing of what we do have to do to birth something very new. I'm actually typing because I'm looking up this artist's page, She Who Is. She's She Who Is Art on Etsy as well, because I did notice that she did a post about Hygieia. Oh, maybe it was an old post. Oh no, there she is. She has some great write-ups about this. Hygieia represents health as the alignment of body, soul, heart, mind, outer success, and inner peace. Okay, and it's about preventative, and it's about coming into wholeness and that mix of knowing and action, masculine, feminine, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, we're going to get some new information coming through about that. I was going to stop the chart, but so I will soon. But I'm going to tell you that I'm also going to talk about the fact Mars is also at 27 degrees and opposing Hecate, the way shower. This is Hecate here, the goddess of the crossroads. And Mars is also aspecting Neptune, Hygieia, and the galactic center. And Mars rules Aries. Mars is being softened. So not only is the divine feminine, for want of a better term, being sold to kind of take a stand, own ourselves, kind of, don't get wallowy in the emotions of or victimhood or sacrifice and overgiving. And remember, I'm talking about archetypes here, but to take a stand for oneself, Mars is also in the sign of the people and the future, saying we have to do this by coming together and tuning into our ken or knowing. Lots of things to say. Other things I'm going to talk about are we have a T square between Venus, Pallas Athena, and Juno. So I will talk about that. I always call Pallas Athena Venus squared, and this is Venus crowned because they're all kind of similar symbols, but they're different archetypes slightly, but they're all divine feminine archetypes. So I'll talk about that as well. And there was one other. Oh, yeah. Ceres, the Great Mother, is square to the nodes. That one's really important. And Ceres is at 13 degrees. So let me stop the share and talk about this. So, first of all, we've got this massive new beginning, possibilities, infinite new possibilities, with the North Node in Aries saying, take a stand for yourself, with Mercury, the cunning trickster thinking, about to hit a retrograde in Aries, saying, let's kind of think about how we're going to use this strategically. How are we going to really think about and speak up for ourselves, not with anger, but with strength and that cunning and ken and knowing. And incidentally, when Mercury turns retrograde on April the 1st, which is just before the big new moon eclipse, Mercury will be at 27 degrees, Aries, in a trine to that galactic center. So there's definitely kind of new ideas, new information coming in, and a lot of letting go of old with that buck stops here in Pisces as well. So Mercury's doing that. Chiron has been in Aries for a while, unlocking the keys to finding that, what did we call it again? To finding that unholy inquisition of the internal predator, whatever their source was originally, and kind of like unpacking it and saying, you don't kind of control me anymore. I kind of see it in many ways as in internal family systems or parts work. That predator is both firefighter, controller, and exile. It's the parts of you that have stopped you finding yourself, your core self. So all of that's being unlocked on this. Now, to that T square between Venus in Pisces, remember I said Venus is loves being in Pisces. This is higher love. This is compassion. This is love, most of all for the self, is in a square to Pallas Athena and also asteroid Lilith. Talk to the hand, Lilith, in Sagittarius. So we've got like universal love, natural laws, and then Virgo making it practical and getting down to the details with Juno. How are we going to do this for to be of most use to humanity and the world? What are the strategies? Pallas Athena is very strategic, but asteroid Lilith, talk to the hand, as saying, I've had enough, it's time to unleash the raw truth, but let's be smart about this and think about the details about how we are going to do it. Okay. And I can see this happening or starting to. People using a little bit more kind of smartness to really tap into being the change they want to see in the world and taking a stand, not just for themselves, but for others like them, but it starts with the self. Then we have the T-square with Ceres in Capricorn, square to the lunar nodes. Now, the lunar, any square to the lunar nodes is a turning point, is a crossroads, another crossroads. But Ceres is at 13 degrees, the number of the goddess, and she's in Capricorn, the sign of the structures of our society, the patriarchy. But Capricorn is not the patriarchy. It just happens to currently be the structures that we have. Okay. Capricorn is a deeply feminine yin earth sign. It can be the very gentle, wise elder with that gentle hand on the shoulder, the teacher, all of those things. And Ceres in there going, is there going, this is not feeding my needs. This is not nurturing my soul. This, we kind of need to make a change here. And so Ceres is rising up, that great mother who searched for Persephone with Hecate's help, and there's Mars opposing Hecate today or on this ingress, saying, you know, the way forward is into the heart. It's work that we started. It's ongoing, but in this current cycle, it's work we started in the last Venus retrograde cycle. Then one thing I did not mention is the moon. The moon is our emotions, but it's also the people. It's also another mothering energy and nurturing energy. The moon has just moved into another fire sign, Leo, on this Aries ingress. And Leo is the sign of the heart. It's the sign of the sun. The moon is in the sun sign. This is bringing together that balance thing of the solar masculine and solar feminine. There's a lot of coming together of, you know, that mixing of all the opposites, the polarities coming in on this. Now then, not only that though, the moon is also in a fire trine aspect, which is supportive to the sun. So they are passionately creative, full of those possibilities that I talked about with those cards, full of that energy of the creatrix of cunning. Okay, so it's very creative, this ingress. But also, not only that, the moon is opposing Pluto, and the moon is diving deep into our collective transformation and desires that is going to start to come as Pluto goes through Aquarius. The moon in the mundane astrology is also the people. So it's like, what do the people want? Or are the people going to kind of rise up and say, we've had enough of this kind of thing? And I don't necessarily mean by violent revolution. I don't really actually kind of see that in this chart, to be honest. I see a more strategic approach of rising up. What I see happening already is, for example, the election of some of these very young people in Congress. What's his name in Florida? Maxwell Frost, is it? There's others. There's a young woman in Texas. Summer, somebody, I can't remember all their names at the moment. But these young people in Congress have powerful, powerful, strategic voices. There's the two Justins as well in one of the state courthouses. And sorry for my, you know, US centric kind of thing. Clearly, I live in the US and so I read the politics. But I do see a lot of young people rising up and standing up for themselves, for each other, doing it strategically, and taking a stand for this more caring, loving way of being. It's happening where that, everybody kind of gets into this disaster kind of mode of the world's falling apart. And, we do have a lot of that Pisces chaos. Some things will fall apart, but I don't think we're doomed. And I do think we are at a major turning point this year. One of the turning points, of course, it's going to take some time to all settle out. Now, let me just quickly tune in and see if there's anything else I want to say about this. Well, Cariclo, I'm actually going to share the chart again, just quickly. I was reading several posts about Spider Woman and that was, what was his name? Oh my goodness. Oh. Bresny. Bresny, the astrologer Bresny. Okay. I can't remember his first name now. I'm having one of those brain farty moments, but Neptune is conjunct the sun and square my ascendant. But anyway, let's look at him. Let's look at Rob Bresny. He said something about, he posted something. I'm going to just look him up. I actually want to read it because it's from an article that I actually want to find, and I couldn't find it originally. So it was about Spider Woman. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it, but oh, here we go. Novelist Ursula K. Le Guin, okay, that is, decries the linear perspective that dominates modern storytelling. She says it's like an arrow starting here and going straight there, and thock, hitting its mark. Furthermore, she says, plots, I'm just going to stop the share while I read it. Plots are usually advanced through conflict as if interesting action can't possibly arise from any other catalyst. I invite you to rebel against these oppressive conventions. Wean yourself from tales that have reductive plot lines fueled primarily by painful events. Celebrate the luminous mysteries that have shaped your own life story, the meandering fascinations that didn't lead to tidy conclusions, the wobbly joys that fed your soul but didn't serve your ego's ambitions, the adventures whose success revolved around brain-teasing breakthroughs instead of exhausting triumphs over suffering. See, this is what I've been talking about in my daily blog, Beyond the Hero's Journey. We are moving into this new paradigm of rewriting new stories. And the article I was going to refer to was Spider-Woman as Healer by Nancy Corson Carter. She says, I am inspired by another way of storytelling, not the linear, singular breakthrough and power over brilliance of the hero narrative, but the spiraling, juxtaposing, and interpenetrating power with luminosity of the weaver in the act of telling. I'm not going to read it all to you, but if it's on Rob Bresny's personal page, if you want to go and look him up, Brezsny or Brezsny if you are from other parts of the world. But the reason I wanted to read it is Cariclo. This is Cariclo here. And oh, she's not letting me do that. Let me. Honestly, stop it. Oh, that's because she doesn't. Yeah, because she's not a main planet. I'm not allowed to highlight her. Anyway, this is Cariclo, Chiron's wife. These two are in an ongoing sextile. It's not exact for quite a long time, but this is a supportive, 60 degree aspect to each other. And her name means Grace Spinner. And I've spoken about it often that I see her spinning, weaving, crafting new stories, and in a very different way. I've done a whole thing on Caraclo. I interviewed my friend Shelley Bentine. I also interviewed Melanie Reinhardt about her. But in Aquarius, she has been leading the way into Aquarius. She's holding space for us to start writing these new interwoven stories of who we are as people. Now then, why did I want to mention her for this? Not only because of the aspect to the Aries energy on this ingress, but because she is also in an almost exact aspect to the nodes. So if you can see that, she is, oh, there we go. There's the line I wanted. This is not a square, but she is trine the south node and sextile the north node as well, pointing the way to right, not living that old story for the sake of keeping the peace, of taking a stand for ourselves. She's helping us and holding space for us to be Spider Woman, to create this new story. You might want to go and meet the myth of Spider Woman as well. This is what I spend all my days doing. I did want to mention one other thing before I go is that Vesta over here, the inner flame of devotion, is in Mercury ruled Gemini, still opposing the galactic center and still square to Neptune and Hygieia. And Vesta is saying that it's all about looking within to change your perspective and about coming into, that balance where we started in one of the cards about holistic bringing together of all polarities in wholeness and knowing that you can stay strong, firm within very Aries energy. Anyway, I think it's a lovely Aries ingress. And I know a lot of other astrologers don't agree, but I've also heard a lot of astrologers predicting all kinds of disasters for such a long time, and they really have not happened. We are still in chaos. We are still juggling those balls as we start to weave and write a new story. And we are long from completely out of it, but the possibilities are endless in this time. So happy Aries ingress, happy equinox, happy equal day and equal night, happy return to the light in the north, happy return of the dark. Celebrate it, enjoy the dark, enjoy the seasons, enjoy the turning of the seasons. That's what we're missing, this connection and attunement with the turning of these seasons. So, I will see you next time. Don't forget to subscribe.